This public radio podcast is supported by the School of Graduate Studies at St. Cloud State University, offering more than 70 graduate programs and certificates. More information online at stcloudstate.edu. And by LifeWorks Services, celebrating October as National Disability Employment Awareness Month, connecting employers with reliable workers for more than 25 years. More about the LifeWorks difference at lifeworks.org.
From Minnesota Public Radio, this is Grammar Grader. It's the podcast about words, grammar, and usage for the information age. This week's episode, what's your function again?
Ladies and gentlemen, from all of us here at Cafe 123, we want to thank you for coming out tonight. Our stage show will start in 10 minutes.
Mike, can I get another over here?
Excuse me, aren't you Jack Sheldon?
Why, yes. Yes, I am.
From Schoolhouse Rock?
Yeah, from Schoolhouse Rock.
I loved those. I used to watch them in between the Smurfs and Bugs Bunny.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed them. I'm on in a few minutes.
But, you know...
Uh-oh.
Conjunction Junction wasn't technically accurate.
Look, it was a 3-minute song in the 70s.
You know what I'm talking about. Hooking up words and phrases and clauses.
The 70s were a weird bunch of years.
Stylistically speaking, conjunctions can also be used to begin sentences.
I did a lot of things in my career.
It's true. Most style guides agree that, so long as they're not overused, it's perfectly okay to start a sentence with a conjunction, especially if it's the best way to link it to the previous thought.
Where do you people come from?
Today, we're putting to rest another long-held grammar myth. In an effort to keep writing clean and concise, English teachers often instruct students not to begin sentences using the coordinating conjunctions and, or, but, so, for, or, yet. Obeying the letter of the law, some prescriptivists would argue that the following sentences are out of bounds.
Daisy was my second cousin, once removed, and I'd known Tom in college. And just after the war, I spent 2 days with them in Chicago.
What? I inquired politely. But evidently he was not addressing me, for he dropped my hand and covered Gatsby with his expressive nose.
The reasoning goes that such sentences are not sentences at all, but are rather sentence fragments and are therefore incorrect. But modern style guides reverse this rule, except when writing is expected to be very formal. In fact, initial conjunctions can be extremely useful. In the Handbook of Good English, author Edward Johnson explains why.
It is true that a sentence that begins with a conjunction, something joining its thought to the thought of the preceding sentence, can hardly be anything but a fragment of the complete thought. But that is no justification for such a rule. After all, in a well-written paragraph, each sentence should add its thought to the thoughts of preceding sentences, whether or not it begins with a conjunction.
Johnson goes on to say that taking excessive pains to avoid an initial conjunction may actually weaken or detract from the intended emphasis or meaning of the sentence. That said, the danger in beginning sentences with conjunctions is that they sometimes make readers work harder than they need to in order to discern the meaning of a sentence. Take this example.
She was devastated for her brother, who was her closest friend.
At this point in the sentence, readers have no idea whether the word for is being used as a conjunction, continuing the thought of the previous sentence, or a preposition, describing what the woman had for her beloved brother. At this point, the sentence could end this way.
She was devastated, for her brother, who was her closest friend, betrayed her.
Or this way.
She was devastated. For her brother, who was her closest friend, she had nothing left.
In either example, it's likely that even when the meaning becomes clear, a reader will be forced to reread the sentence to ensure it is understood. With that caution in mind, beginning sentences with coordinating conjunctions is a practice that should be used sparingly. As Patricia O'Connor says pointedly in her guide, Woe Is I,
and it's fine to start a sentence with one, but not too often, or you'll overdo it.
I was on Merv Griffin. They made a documentary of my life. Clint Eastwood's in it.
Jack? Come on, Jack. You're on.
I gotta go. But it was nice to meet you.
See? You just did it yourself.
I beg your pardon?
I've got to go, period. But it was nice to meet you.
Mike, get the bouncer, will you?
Big band intro, okay?
Okay.
One, two, three.
This has been Grammar Grader from Minnesota Public Radio. Source material for this episode comes from The Handbook of Good English by Edward D. Johnson, The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald, and Woe Is I by Patricia O'Connor, all of which can be found at publicradiomarket.org. Thanks as always to the Grammatis Personae players, Corey Bussey, Jackie Fuller, and Brett Baldwin. Our producers are Brett Baldwin and Jen Houck. Our executive producer is John Pearson. I'm Luke Taylor. Thanks for listening. And if you like Grammar Grader, give feedback, share your thoughts, and join the discussion at grammargrader.gather.com.
That's an additive like this and that. And then there's but when you say, "Mommy, I won't do this, but I will do that."